Amen. I just want to do God's will. I don't want to be a politician. I believe God sets one up, sets another down. I believe we have revival no matter who's in the office. And amen. Let's just do the work of God. What do you say? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. It's good to have Richard here. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Amen. The first guest. Good to see Carrie Averett. God bless her. Amen. Praise God. Excited about what God's doing in Shelby's life. I guess she's outside probably with a young'un. Amen. Filled her with the Holy Ghost Monday night. Prayer. We baptized her Wednesday night. Thank you, Jesus. And then Wednesday night, Megan got the Holy Ghost. We're going to baptize her tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So God's good. Hallelujah. If you got your Bible, open them to Psalm 73. I'm just going to read one verse. And then we're going to just have an old-fashioned Bible study. Go through the chapter of Psalm 73. Amen. I want to learn. Praise God. I want to learn something every day about the Lord. I want to be saved above all else. Amen. Praise God. Now, Brother Blake is back in here. This is Megan's husband. You may not recognize him. Don't he look wonderful, handsome, Holy Ghost filled? Jesus' name baptized. Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 73 and 17. The Bible said, until, everybody say until. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Amen. It's still important that you come to the sanctuary. He said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. The people of the world, I understood their ending once I came into the house of God. Amen. Praise God. And I want to preach from this title, Revelations in the Sanctuary of God. Amen. What I learned in the house of the Lord. Amen. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands and your voices to the Lord. Let's ask God to help us right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would sweep through this house today in a special way. God, that you would touch every life that's here, Lord. You would stir people up. You would let us grow in you, God. We want to be what you called us to be, God. Hallelujah. I want revelation today, God. I want you to teach me today. I want you to show me today, God. I want to learn of you today, God. Come on, why don't you join with somebody if you're hungry? Come on, if you want God to show you something today, why don't you join up with somebody? Pray together. God, help us. God, don't let us be confused. Don't let us misunderstand. But open our understanding, God. Give us wisdom, Lord. Teach us, God, to be what you called us to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now in a way of worship, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, he's worthy. Come on, we're not clapping for man. We're clapping for Jesus right now. Jesus, you're worthy of all our praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach what God began to deal with me about last Wednesday morning. And I thought maybe I was going to preach. I felt the Lord deal with me, but then I thought, this don't feel like today. And then I got a hold of Brother Holland, and all that worked out wonderful, and here we are. Amen. Nothing like a timely word. Amen. There's a lot of things on a preacher's heart, but I want what God has for that service. Amen. For that moment. Amen. I want to preach about this Psalm 73 today. It was written by a man named Asaph, and he was of the priestly lineage of Levi through Levi's son Gershom. He wrote about 12 of the Psalms. Some believe Asaph even wrote more of them, some of the ones who do not have an official writer. Some of them are believed to be Asaph, but for sure he wrote 12. Asaph was a musician. He was a singer in the temple. This was during the time of the reign of David. Matter of fact, David would appoint Asaph as a worship leader. Later on in Chronicles, the 29th chapter, Asaph would be described as a seer or a prophet. And at that time in 2 Chronicles 29, when Hezekiah would be king, he would command the people to sing the songs of David, but also to sing the songs of the seer, Asaph. So Asaph was anointed of God to write songs. He was anointed of God to sing songs. He was anointed of God to speak the oracles of God. Amen. To preach the word of God. Asaph, in those days, it was considered very important what family you came from if you were going to be used of God. Amen. In the temple, you needed to be from the tribe of Levi. Asaph, he had the pedigree. He had the anointing. He had God in his life. And you begin to read about him, you never find anything that was immoral spoken of him that I could find. He was just a good man. He was devoted to the kingdom of God and doing whatever he could do to propel the kingdom of God forward. Hallelujah. Thank God for good people with a made up mind to just do what God calls them to be. I think I might could just stop and preach a little while about people just saying, God, wherever you want to use me, just use me. Well, I'm a good singer. Well, maybe God wants you to teach a Bible study today. Well, I'm the best bass player they got. Well, maybe God wants you to sing a solo today. And maybe God wants you to run the aisles or stomp the devil today. You know what I say? Let's just be whatever God wants us to be. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He was just a good man. And so he had devoted his talents and abilities to furthering along the kingdom of God. But as we will study here in just a little bit, even Asaph needs to get some revelations from the house of God. Even if he's anointed and even he may be using the gifts and maybe he can preach and maybe he can sing and maybe he can play, maybe he can run sound better than anybody else and maybe he can do this and do that and maybe he's a soul winner, but even then he still needs to get some revelations in the house of God. Hey, the day you got it all figured out is the day you ain't got nothing figured out. I need God to open up my understanding today. I need God to show me some things today. I need God to help me today. Hallelujah. Everybody clap your hands. Hallelujah. So, amen. So it doesn't matter if you grew up in the church or you did not grow up in the church. It doesn't really matter what side of the tracks you grew up on, or what color your skin is, or what language you speak, or whether you got money or you ain't got money. Praise God. Some people with money think they don't need a preacher to preach to them. It don't matter what you are. I don't care how many degrees of divinity that you have or theology. You still need to walk into the house of the Lord with your ears open, saying, God, I want you to show me something today. Come on, is anybody hungry for the word of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Could I take it a little further? It don't matter if your pastor is younger than you or older than you. Well, I'd been in church 30 years before he was ever born. That really don't matter, my friend. When you walk in, you need a revelation from God. If you just... Everybody, every day needs God to speak to them. Amen. So, I want to preach a little while. Amen. This is all we need. We just need another revelation from God. We need another aha moment today in this house. Amen. I'm praying God will turn on the light bulb in everybody's mind today. And you pick up a nugget you can take home with you. Amen. That'll make you be a better Christian, a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better preacher, a better teacher. Amen. The Bible said his word is a lamp unto our feet. Everybody say a lamp unto my feet. Why do you need a lamp unto your feet? So you don't stumble. So you don't fall. But it also said it's a lamp unto my pathway. Amen. It's going to show you where you're at. The word of God will speak to you where you're at. Where you can see what you're doing. But it'll also show you where you need to go next. I'm telling you, we need the word of God today. And we're going to need it tonight. We're going to need it next week. And next month. And next year. We're going to need a word from God until we're raptured out of here. Amen. So let us study. Praise God. This is what I've come to preach about. Let's study the 73rd Psalm. Who wants a little Bible study? Praise God. Let's see how good I am at doing this. Amen. Whether I can. Let's study what this anointed, five-talent, moral, wonderful, submitted man thinks. Praise God. Truly, the first verse, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Amen. If I could say it like this, he's saying, before I get started, let me just go ahead and tell you, God's good. God's good. He's good to his people. Amen. Then he goes to the second verse. Praise God. But he says, but as for me, he's saying, God's good, but let me tell you my story. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He said, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped. You know why I told you he was an anointed man of God and an anointed singer, anointed preacher, anointed musician? Because anybody can get out of balance. Oh, help me, Jesus. Lord, don't ever let us start thinking we got it all figured out. Because there ain't nobody in this room above getting out of balance every now and then. Amen. And getting mixed up every now and then. Amen. I need the word of God to keep my feet going the right way. My mind going the right way. He said my feet were slipping. I was out of balance. Amen. Did you know you need to be on guard all the time? Did you know the enemy wants to knock you over and knock you out and drag you out of the church? You know why he wants you out of the church? He wants you lost. The first thing he's got to do before he can get you out of the church is get you not coming on Sunday morning, then not coming Sunday night, and then not coming Monday night, and then not coming Wednesday night. Amen. It may not get any better than this, but a whole lot more of it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Even Asaph has the ability to fall every now and then. This is what Paul would write in the new church in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. He said, wherefore, Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed or pay attention. If you really think you got it going on, you need to really pay attention lest you fall. It's really embarrassing to fall when there's nothing pushing you. When it's just you not paying attention and you just... It's one thing to get knocked down by somebody, but it's another thing to be sitting there prideful and you stumble over your own feet. The Bible said when you think you're standing, you better... Let me go ahead and look down and make sure these things ain't going to trip over one another. Hallelujah. Amen. If you stumbled, guess what you need to do? A righteous man falls seven times, buddy. He gets back up. We're not here to beat people down. I'm going to preach. You should not fall. You should not stumble. You need to pay attention. But if you do, it's time to just get back up. Praise God. Third verse. I'm trying to teach a Bible study here. He said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. My Lord. Now Asaph is describing what is making him fall. What's making him fall is he's getting his mind mixed up when he's watching the wicked prosper. He must have been going through a hard time and he's looking around at all these scoundrels that weren't going to church. And it looked like they had it going on. Amen. You better learn how to guard your mind. You better learn how to bring every thought into captivity. You better learn how to not compare yourself among yourself. Because you don't know what God's dealing with out there, in here, or wherever, in your family, in that family. It don't matter. Don't let your mind get mixed up thinking, boy, it just looks like the wicked have it going on. There's not one Tesla in the whole church. Praise God. You're just in the wrong church. Amen. Praise God. In the wrong city. We're combustible V8 engines. Praise God. We don't want. Well, that's something else. Y'all gonna let me preach to you a little while? Asaph was looking. He thought, my Lord, all the Lamborghinis are at the devil people houses. He's looking and he thought, man, the wicked people. They're the ones making all the money. Praise God. And his mind was starting to get mixed up. And because his mind was mixed up, he was about to fall. I'm going to help somebody today. Hallelujah. Go to the fourth verse. He said, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He was saying, it looks like it's all the Pentecostals in the ER. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, the devil knows how to mess people's mind up. It looks like the apostolics are all the diabetics. Well, maybe so. That's what we do for entertainment. We eat. We got rid of Hollywood and got rid of Copenhagen, got rid of the Super Bowl and the Cowboys and the Razorbacks. What are you going to do? We're going to eat and talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. And Asaph, he must have been dealing with something. He must have had some kind of sickness or in his body, or maybe he was seeing sick people coming to the temple. Then when he'd go home, it looked like all the wicked people were healthy. Go to the fifth verse. He said, they're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. He's saying it looks like they're immune to trouble. Like they just do stuff and they get away with it. So Asaph must have been dealing with a little trouble, or everybody in his family was in trouble. But maybe he was looking at the Philistines or whoever else thinking, boy, they don't ever have trouble. So all of us musicians and singers and saints of God seem like we're in trouble. Sixth verse, therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. He said because they're not getting in trouble, it's like pride is just, it's like a necklace on them, or arrogance is really probably what the English word would be today. It's like they're arrogant, and when you, and violence covers them like a garment. He's saying when you look at them, it's like arrogance is like a necklace and violence is like their clothing. It's all you see when you see them. Full of pride. They're violent people. Do you remember who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Asaph, the anointed man of God that was used to sing and to write and to preach, the worship leader. It's all right. Amen. Hope you're thinking. I hope you're not just quiet. I hope you're thinking. My wife always gets on to me. She says, they're not, they're loud, but they're thinking. Okay. I'm telling you what she said, so I'll quit saying that. If that's wrong, then I'm going to keep saying it. Seventh verse. He said, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Praise God. In the ancient world, obesity was a sign of wealth. Praise God. We're just looking around, we look pretty wealthy. Blessed of God. Amen. But in ancient days, they didn't have seconds and all you can eat world buffets. So Asaph was probably rationing out his breakfast and his lunch and his dinner, and he's looking outside and he said, my Lord, these people are so fat their eyeballs are about to pop out. What he was saying is, I'm about to starve, and these, remember who's talking? Asaph. One of God's chosen people, the anointed singer, the anointed preacher, is looking at himself saying, man, it looks like the world's getting all the blessings. The eighth verse, he said that they are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. He said they're evil. They speak evil. And they're big mouths. They're not even whispering. They're just bye-bye. Ninth verse. They set their mouth against the heavens. And their tongue walketh through the earth. He said, is this all right if I just read a verse and talk about it a minute? He said, if you just listen to them, it sounds like they control heaven and earth. Just listening to the way they talk. Therefore his people, the 10th verse. Therefore his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Again, he's saying they got all they want. And we just got a little bit. We're struggling. The 11th verse, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? He's saying these wicked people who it looks like they're immune to trouble, they're even questioning God. Does God know anything? And they're still got big old fat eyes and looks like they're getting by. I want to tell you, you can get confused. Anointed people can get confused. People that operate in the gifts can get confused. People that get a word from God can get confused. Amen. But we're about to get unconfused today. Hallelujah. The 12th verse. says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. He's saying, well, these are the ungodly, wicked people. This is who I'm talking about. They they don't listen. They don't read their Bible through every year. They don't read any of it. They don't do nothing. They're troublemakers, and they're getting richer and richer. The 13th verse, he says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. This was the anointed preacher and singer's conclusion. This is where his mind was, is that I've been living for God in vain. I'm telling you, a scary place to be is when you allow dumb thoughts to go through your head. This is why I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to bring every thought into captivity, Brother Blake. I don't care where I'm at today, how much I got, what it looks like. I'm going to serve God. Tell you, one of the most dangerous places that you can go mentally is when you start speaking things like, I'm not doing any good living for God. I'm doing all this in vain. Just look. I ain't got what they got. I'm sick and they're healthy. They got money and I ain't got none. I got trouble. They ain't got. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. I got trouble and they ain't got trouble. Am I doing all this in vain? Am I paying my tithes in vain? I'm broke. I'm paying offerings in vain. Feel like I ain't got nothing. Amen. I'm trying to live a holy life and it seem like everything I do is getting worse. Come on, we're going to preach something today. We're going to get some revelations in the house of God this morning. We're about to rebuke some lies from the devil that he's been telling people. Amen. Hallelujah, praise God. I am doing my absolute best to not get ahead of myself. Praise God. The 14th verse. For all the day long have I been plagued. And I feel like I get a whipping every single morning. They're drinking coffee at Starbucks. We don't like Starbucks. We like Seven Brew. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The people from Starbucks don't pay tithes. People. Hallelujah. They're down there having fun, doing what they do, and seem like they're playing frisbee and beach volleyball. And I feel like I'm getting a whipping every morning when I get up. Feel like I'm having to fight the devil and claw my way out of the room and out of the house. And trouble's there when I walk out the door. You ought to try to come to church every day. It'll help a little bit of that. He said, but I'm getting a whipping every day. I'm having it rough. Oh, praise God. He said in the 15th verse, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Let me give you, if you don't hear nothing else, please listen to me. I don't care if you have all the thoughts of Asaph. Whatever you do, do not open your mouth and let your little babies and babies in the church hear you say they got it better off than we do. It was better when I lived out there. Seemed like I had less trouble. Come on, I'm going to... Come on, if you don't want to destroy a whole generation of the church,
You better learn how to take your misunderstandings and your fears to an altar and say, God, I know you're good to Israel. Amen. If I'm mixed up today, help me to see it your way. Man, I don't know how many times I've seen parents that went through trials and they didn't make it. Brother Goodrum and the children didn't make it. And it was not the will of God for the children to be lost. You could probably have your children saved, but just by learning how, when to speak and when to just hush up. Amen. My daddy said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, I want to tell you, if you're in the fiery furnace, don't open your mouth against God. You need to be like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? Because I understand. I got a revelation in the house of God. I know how it's going to end up. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Come on, parents. Why don't the parents stand, grandparents stand? Amen. I got a lot to preach in a short time to get it done, but stand with me. The parents and grandparents. He does not must say, listen to me. Things are going to happen in this life. Amen. But don't open your mouth and begin to speak things that'll curse your babies and put doubt in their mind about living for God. Hey man, you need to tell them, hey, listen to me, children. Listen to me, grandchildren. Hey, we got a God that's going to pull us up out of here. It may be bleak. We may not have enough. It may look like we don't deserve what we got right now, but there's a God in heaven that's going to come someday, and he's going to settle this score. Hallelujah. Don't ever talk about the church negatively. Don't talk about the pastor negatively. Don't talk about the Bible negatively. Don't talk about Acts 2:38 negatively. Don't talk about the word negatively. Put a positive word in your mouth. You'll save the next generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's wisdom. I said that's wisdom. Amen. My mama raised me to love the church. Amen. When I grew up, I realized that everything wasn't perfect in the church. But I didn't know it living with my mom and my dad. Praise God. You're going to destroy another generation. People let their own hurts and their, this is a new word, church hurt. My Lord, I was hurting the world long before I was even met a church person. Amen. Church, you know what church hurt is? It's when people don't pray and they act in the flesh. So there really ain't such a thing as church hurt. It's called flesh hurt. It's called carnality hurt. Carnal people hurt carnal people. Spiritual people don't hurt other spiritual people. Spiritual people lift one another up and help one another. There's no such thing as church hurt. Praise God. I'm trying to teach a Bible study here. Praise God. What verse am I on? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Praise God. All these things that I've been preaching about that Asaph, this anointed man, was talking about. He said, when I try to reconcile all this stuff in my mind, try to make it make sense, it hurts me. It troubles me. Praise God. Amen. Life can trouble you. Amen. 17th verse. But something happened. Praise God. Something changed. He said, until. Everybody say until. He said, I was having a pity party. I was feeling sorry for myself. Praise God. Mine are J.C. Penney suits, and they're wearing custom suits. $7,000. I was having woe is me. Amen. I'm eating oatmeal, and they're eating filet mignon. I was down on myself. Until, praise God. See, you got to get out of the bed, first of all. You can't. Give me a word today. God, speak to me. Help me get out of this bed. No, you got to get out of the bed. You got to pick yourself up. You got to get yourself dressed. You got to drag yourself to the house of God. And when you get there, help me preach. He said, praise God. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then, everybody say understood. Understood I therein. I want to tell you, I believe in the blessings of God. Amen. Joel Osteen tried to steal my sermons, I think. I believe we're the blessed of God. But if there's a day you ain't feeling blessed, we're still better off than the world is. As I read the end of that book, and it talked about a street of gold and a mansion and a gate of pearl. And it talked about a supper. Does it get any better than supper? Amen. I heard about a supper of the Lamb where Jesus Christ is saying, do you want sweet or unsweet? When I get there, I'm going to say sweet. I can't say it here, but when I get there, hey, when you're feeling discouraged, and you're feeling confused, and you're feeling troubled, and you're feeling down, don't avoid church. Don't go get in a cave somewhere. Well, I gotta get my mind right. You're gonna let the devil mess it up worse. Revelation comes in the sanctuary of God when the Spirit begins to move and the Word is preached, and you I get it. Can I help somebody for a little while? Amen. Revelate, you'll understand. And we'll understand. You ain't got to wait till by and by. You can just come to church, sit on the pew, open your ears, and let the Word of God tell you why you're going, what you're going through, and it's going to be over. He said, when I went into the sanctuary of God. Oh, praise God. I begin to understand. It's going to end real good for God's people. When I walked into the sanctuary of God, I got a revelation. It's going to end pretty bad for the wicked people, for the slothful people, for the lazy people. It ain't gonna be very good. Hey, man, you know why you need to learn the Word of God? It'll keep your mind right. Asaph, who was a preacher, was confused. He admitted, I was confused. But when I walked into the house of the Lord, I don't know if it's a sermon he heard or a song they sang. Maybe like I see a crimson stream of blood. And he got to thinking about how beautiful God was. Maybe they were singing, Roll Back Jordan. Get back, Red Sea, whatever they sing. Amen. I don't. But something happened when Asaph walked into the sanctuary of God. He was feeling sorry for himself until he got there. But something got a hold of him. Amen. And by the time he left there, there wasn't no more confusion in his mind. And he was saying, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I got the 18th verse. The reason I think it wasn't a song, it might have been a song, because a lot of songs, they turned into the word anyway. So it could have been the written word, could have been the word to music, I don't know. But something clicked when he got there, Brother Goodrum. And he said, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Amen. A while ago he was saying they're so fat their eyes are bulging out. Now he's saying they're fat and they in a slippery place. I'll turn around and preach a little while. Hallelujah. Go to the next verse. Maybe we get a better one. He said, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. Praise God. Amen. I'd rather ration out oatmeal than be terrified of what's going to happen. Give me some of that wick cheese and Holy Ghost. Then a filet and not know where I'm going if God comes for me. Oh, I feel like preaching. Amen. 20th verse. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. All this is coming to his mind. Amen. The guy that was about to fall because he was so mixed up. It was a sermon. It was a word. It was a song that got him. 21st verse. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. All them thoughts that he had. When he got into the sanctuary, he's like, oh, Lord, I'm an idiot. Is this okay? I heard this is my job, is to explain scripture, teach people. He said, look, I'm a blooming idiot. What I was just thinking, because something has changed my thinking. Hey, when I walked in here, I was about to fall down. Now I'm feeling like an idiot forever allowing them thoughts to go through my mind. Amen. I was foolish, God. He said I was. Praise God. Wait, go back one more. I like this one. Amen. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. It's not. It's like a, praise God, like a dumb animal. He's not like I didn't even have a brain. Praise God. Let me tell you what. Amen. When revelation comes to your mind, you're going to think, my Lord, please. God, please don't tell that preacher I even thought that. Don't tell my friends. You know, you ought to be careful what you tell people. Man, before Facebook, you didn't have to worry a whole lot about it. Praise God. Man, but when they say things like this, hey, don't tell anybody, but. I want to tell you what they said. If anybody says that to you, hey, don't tell anybody I said this. Just remember, whatever you just tell them, they're going to call somebody else with what you just said. And they're going to say, hey, don't tell anybody I said that. They're going to tell who you just told about. They're going to go. So I figured out a long time ago, because I'm not real smart, so people are very persuasive in their arguments. And they tell me, so-and-so did this. And then somebody else, very persuasive, will say, no, they did that. Two very persuasive arguments. So I said, well, let's just get on the phone with each other. Well, I don't really feel like talking about it right now. You ever heard that story about Solomon? When he said, well, bring me a sword. We're going to figure out whose baby this is. He knew the real mama's going to say, oh, no, whatever you got to do, let that baby live. But somebody that's not vested in the baby, they'll kill it. Well, praise God. Let me just preach a while. Go to 23. Amen. So after this sermon, praise God, he went from being mixed up to walking into the house of the Lord. And then all of a sudden his mind gets changed. And he said, God, I'm just going to be with you. You know what he's saying is, I got a made up mind. Well, wouldn't that be beautiful? Somebody just quit thinking about what it looks like today and said, Lord, I'm just going to stick with you. Come on, it takes a revelation. Amen. Go to the next verse. This is what clicked. Wait, I don't think I was finished with the 23rd one. Hang on. Praise God. I just got to that point. He said, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Praise the Lord. You're talking about beautiful when you realize, and sometimes you got to be out of the trial before it happens. They have to open the door of the furnace and let you out before you realize, you know what? God was in there with me. Sometimes the king has got to holler down, oh, Daniel, are you down there? He pulls you up and you, God was with me. At my lowest point, Brother Landon Yancey, God was with me. When it looked like I was in a mess and there was no way to turn and the door was higher than I could reach. God, I'm praying revelation comes to us today. God, you were holding my hand. The 24th verse said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Hallelujah. God, I'm going to be with you. You're going to hold my hand, and you're going to guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, I'm going to heaven. When this whole deal is done, if I'm rich or poor, fat or skinny, diabetic or not, he's going to hold my hand. He's going to walk with me. He's going to counsel me. And when it's all over, I'm going to walk through a gate. And I'm not just going to go by myself. I'm taking my wife with me and my children with me and my grandchildren with me and a church full of people with me. What happened to you? I got a revelation. It's what the Word of God does. It brings clarity to people's mind. I pray that every day. God, don't ever let me get confused. Praise God. He met my pastor. This was his advice when he sent me to pastor. He said, watch out for money and women. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Ain't got to worry about money. Amen. Hopefully none of the other either. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. There's things that are after you. There's things that'll mess with you. He said, whom have I in heaven but thee? Praise God. Boy, I didn't even realize that was a oneness scripture until I just read it right there out loud. Praise God. light bulbs going off. Asaph said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. See, if your desire is to be rich and eat at the $200 a plate things and wear $7,000, you probably won't ever get there. But there's a little scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible said, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if you're struggling, looking at, I feel like I'm left out. You're not left out. God wants you to, what'd they say, make the main thing the main thing. The first thing. I believe everybody ought to try to pursue things to make themselves better, and you ought to try to be smarter, and you ought to try to learn things every day and be the best in your career field, and best door knocker, best Bible study teacher, best husband, best. You ought to want to be the best. But at the end of the day, your desire ought to be to please God above all. Hey, I'm going to ruffle some feathers, but I want to tell you, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. Amen. You know what that means? When you make a decision to live for God, it may separate you and some people you really like. I'm just preaching the gospel to you right now. When you make up your mind, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to quit pouting and crying and put my desire, it's going to dry some. Your sisters may not treat you the same anymore. Your brothers and your mom and your dad. And it hurts. I'm not saying it don't hurt, but you got to make up your mind what you're wanting to do. I want to tell you. It may make your husband mad at you. It may make your wife mad at you. But you can't have honey religion. Hallelujah. Hey, praise God. You would save them if you'd just commit to God. They say, well, I just don't feel like I'm going to go to church. Well, I'll just stay here and comfort you. You both will be lost. I had a mother that said, I'm going to go to church. Johnny, if you want to stay here, you can stay here. But I'm about to load all these kids up all by myself. And we're about to go to church. I had a wife who kind of did the same thing for a few years. Praise God. One of my best friends, Brother Robinson, his mama did the same thing. Her husband put a gun to her head, said, Carly, you're not going to church today. She said, I'm either going to church, and if you pull the trigger, I'm going to heaven. Hey, when you got a made-up mind. Amen. My Lord, do I even get time to preach all this? Can I just preach this a little bit more? Praise God. Brother Goodrum don't preach long on Sunday nights. He's an evangelist. Amen. He'll give you 5 minutes back tonight. 2 hours. Praise God. Amen. Bring your crock pot with you. I wanted to read this scripture right here. Verse 26. It said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let me tell you something. The day you realize you got a gift in an earthen vessel. Praise God. Don't get mad at God because you ain't got a healing yet. Don't get all confused and throw your salvation away because God don't fix some little something for you. Come on, I'm trying to let revelation come in the house of God. I'd rather be raptured out of here sick and frail than fat and lost. God. Come on. Hey, I know exactly where you're at. I've struggled with stuff. I thought, God, I've laid my hands on people and they were healed. I've anointed my own head and it didn't happen to me. I've had people anoint me, and it didn't happen to me. And I'd rather be. You know what the Bible said? We're going to be changed. It don't appear what it's going to be, but we are going to be changed, Sister Fernal. Well, I don't know. We're going to be healed when we get up out of here. Hey, man, don't point your finger at God. Just trust God. I know my heart may fail. My flesh may fail. But God, you are my strength. You're my portion. And I'm going to love you. Hallelujah. Stand together with me. Amen. I'll read them other scriptures later. And that's enough revelation for one sitting. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? I want somebody's mind to clear up right now. Well, can we pray for 5 minutes? Y'all got 5 minutes to pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, I want everybody in this house. If you want to come down front, fine. If you want to stand there, fine. Lift your hands, though. And lift your voices to the Lord. And I want God to bring clarity to somebody's mind right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I believe you. God, I trust you. God, don't ever let me get confused to where I fall. God, let me see it the way you see it. Ta-ta-ta-ya. Ukanamaha. Don't let me see the wealth of the wicked and get confused. God, don't let me look and see that they don't have trouble. God, I thank you for my trouble. God, I know you're purging things out of my system. Come on, church. Come on. There's got to be a purging if you're going to stand before God and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, there's got to be a purging. There's got to be a squeezing. There's got to be a trial. Amen, or you won't make heaven. Thank you. Thank you, God. Ta-ta-ta. In the name of Jesus. Come on, Asaph. Come on, Asaph. Cry out to him. Cry out to him, Asaph. I'm sorry for questioning you, God. Sorry. You're all I want, God. You're all I need. Arabaka. I may not have my family with me. But you're all I need. I may not have enough money to make it. But you're all I need. Oh, if I got you, God. I may not have my help. I may not got my healing. But I've got you, God. You're my reward. You're my strength. God, let me see it. Arabaka. God, don't let me be confused. Don't let me flounder. Don't let me fall. Come on, I trust you, God. I trust you, Jesus. I still trust you. Come on, church, cry out to him. Come on, church, just lay it all on the altar this morning. Come on, give it all to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Say, hallelujah. Come on, cry out to him. Come on, let the Holy Ghost heal you. Let the Holy Ghost touch you. Come on, let it take the pain away. Let him take the confusion away. God, if this is what you want, I'm gonna make it, God. I trust you. Come on, in the name of Jesus.